The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in live now on Highland Radio or back via podcast. Well, it was finals week again here in Donegal, the much anticipated and eagerly awaited replay of Dunloe and Clochaneely. And of course, we had the junior final between Downings and Letterkenny Gaels. We're going to look ahead as well to the Ulster Club Championship next week across all levels. St Union's, of course, playing Glen Mahara and Clochaneely playing Steelstown of Derry. That's all happening in O'Donnell Park Saturday and Sunday. Later on the show, we're going to have interviews from joint manager at Downings, Barney Kern, with Ben McNutt, and we've Larkin Connor from the victorious Downings team. We have Joe Freed from Clochaneely, and shortly we're going to hear from their captain, the one and only Mark Harley. What a game he had yesterday too. We're also going to hear from Colm Kavanagh, the victorious Dromore manager, after they won the Throne Championship yesterday. And we're also going to speak to Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life. And just before I get to Mark, a special mention has to go out to Gerly McLaughlin. I mean, the statement of the century is that this was deserved. The understatement, my God, Geraldine was knocking on the door. I was talking to her during the week. I said, Geraldine, if this doesn't happen here now, there's something badly wrong with the world of football. The absolute scoring machine that she is. She should have got this years ago, but at last, she's got her all-star. And of course, Francie and their boys went up to Division 1 with a last-minute goal against Glenfinn as well. So a good weekend for Terman all round. Well done, Geraldine. Now, as I say, yesterday, the day before, Clochaneely and Dunloe were playing that intermediate replay. It was a phenomenal game the week before. Clochaneely coming back from the dead, had the game then won, then almost lost it. So they went into last week's replay with, it was still down to a 50-50 game, but they pulled out a phenomenal performance. And now I'm going to talk to their captain, the one and only Mark Harley. Mark, how are you, sir?
How's it going, Brandon? How's things?
You sound fresh, lad. I'd say the celebrations were great. Listen, we all know the backstory, the two finals. I was texting you last night, and I could see the energy popping off the text. You were in cloud nine.
Ah, definitely, Brandon. You know, we feel like it's been a long time coming, and just to get over the line there on Saturday, you know, it means so much to the boys and the community, you know, and just it was a long time coming, but we got over the line eventually.
Mark, do you think I was trying to analyse the two games against each other, and I'm just wondering when you were down and out, you were 7-2 down, which was strange because you were 7-2 up then in the replay, but you were 7-2 down in the first game. Was that kind of road in the journey you were on, did it mean you were a wee bit battle-hardened, that even though you weren't playing well, you somehow conjured up those goals in that time? Is that something, there was that kind of, I suppose, that bit of belief, that bit of toughness with the knocks that you had taken?
Ah, yeah, listen, that's it. You know, like you say, we weren't playing the best, you know, but every time we step out on that pitch, the boys go to the well together, you know, and for a while it wasn't looking good in the first game, you know, when we were 7 points down, and I thought, can I think to myself, are we really going to lose another one now? But credit the lads, you know, they dug deep, and I suppose a lot of the same teams have been there this last 2-3 years now, so I don't think they just weren't going to let it slip there on Saturday, and listen, we got over the line eventually, so happy there.
Listen, I was just thinking about the two games. Whenever you went three up in the first game, I thought then there was a wee bit of naivety. There needed to be a wee bit better game management around maybe keeping the ball, circulating it. There was a shot down in the left corner, and it was from that then that Dunloe built up the pitch. And there was two fouls where you just pulled the guys down as if it was last minute, and there still was a few minutes to go. I didn't see any of that at all in the replay. Like, everybody just, you could see from the first whistle, everybody was on it. They knew their jobs, and the team just played at such a great fluid level together. I mean, everything seemed right about you. You were tackling the numbers, you were breaking, you know, some fantastic scores kicked. And of course, Jason McGee was moving around the pitch like a Rolls Royce just.
Aye, Jason was excellent now, but as you said there, in the first game, we were playing that bad, and we kind of found ourselves 3 points up, and to be honest, we were kind of shell-shocked, we didn't know what to do, and I was actually very disappointed to come off that game, that we didn't see out the 3 points, you know, in the last couple of minutes, but it was kind of, as you said, the game was completely reversed, you know, what Dunloe done to us last week, we done it to them on Saturday, and you know, when we had the 7-2 lead, we weren't going to let it slip. You know, we were in that position too many times before, and in games like that, and we've had let it slip. But no, on Saturday there, no, it wasn't going to happen. You know, and as you said, Jason McGee was excellent. You know, as you said, he like a Rolls Royce running around there, and when he goes at it, he goes at it, and he's a fantastic player to have for a club team, you know.
Yeah. You weren't bad yourself, chipping in me a couple of scores and all. You were all over the pitch.
I don't know about that. To just close the eyes and hope for the best, Brendan.
You weren't saving any energy for a big speech at the end.
No, not at all, no.
I was just saying, you know, the Donald Park there, the stand, the way it is, you know, the other grounds, you know, McCool Park and that, people will be spread out a bit and that, and it's a big, big stand. But I think it just suits that type of a crowd for that game. I mean, the week before, and particularly the first game, it was absolutely rocking. You know, you have great support behind you as always. You know, anybody I see around there, Mark, that's a Clonhilly fan, they love their football. You know, there's always a good conversation with them. But between yourselves and Dunlow, it was hopping, particularly the first game. I know you controlled the second game, but it was a fantastic spectacle out there in the park, and there was something very special about it.
I went in the first game, you know, and we got them couple of goals. The roar from the crowd was unreal, and then Dunlow had tried to match that then, you know, to get them boys going. But no, it's a nice wee tight stand, you know. And no, listen, our fans are excellent, so they are. I said it during the interview after the game that for 2 years we were standing down PCC with no stand or nothing, no shelter, and battering rain, and I was getting battered too in the pitch probably. But every year they come out and support us, you know, and we're probably one of the better supported teams in the county, you know, and it means a lot to you. And you saw even the celebrations after on Saturday and even yesterday, and the crowd about was unbelievable, you know. And listen, the club's going the right direction, you know. We're in Division 1 this last couple of years, and now we're back up to Senior Championship, you know, and that just brings everything on, you know. A lot of wee young lads running about there on Saturday, and it was great to see, you know, and hopefully now we're just building the club, you know, for them boys to come through, you know. That's what it's all about.
And just a word on your management team. You obviously work closely with them, you know. Michael Lynch, your manager, you know, Bain Mulligan's in there, Donald Corn, Kevin Scanlon, Stephen Dugan's a bit of S&C with you this year, you know. A huge presence and push behind you to make sure that, listen, no stone was left unturned, and certainly their part in changing how you played from the first game to right now into the second game, that can't be underestimated.
No, definitely not. You know, I suppose Lynchy was in there this last couple of years. You know, well, he was in with Francie and that, you know, but he's number one now these last couple of years. But no, listen, the work and the commitment them boys put in is unbelievable, you know, and the likes of Blaine Mulligan and Fuzzy, Donald Curran, Fuzzy and Kevin Scanlon, you know, they know what they're at, you know. And I suppose we brought Stephen Duhan in this year, just he was in this year just for strength and condition, you know, and I think it was a real asset to the boys to have him, you know. And Stephen knows what he's at now. But no, yeah, listen, you have to give the lads credit too. They made the changes that had to be made, and they were ruthless in that sense. And listen, it's a team game, but I think the changes worked well. And the looks like Kieran McGeady, he came in, he didn't start last week. John Fitzgerald, they came in and they're unbelievable. So you have to give them credit where credit's due. You have to give it to them, and they stuck to their guns, you know.
A good man, Mark. And listen, Mark, any thoughts on Steelstown? Any videos watched yet? And when does the focus go on?
To be honest, I wouldn't know much about them, Brendan. It's kind of unknown territory at this stage. And listen, I suppose we're never really looking ahead until Ulster. You know, Donegal was the main aim, and we couldn't be looking ahead. So we don't know. I don't know. Maybe the management boys, they'll come up with a couple of videos or something of them. But I'm sure maybe the Steelstones ones were there watching because they played last week. So they could have made a nip in to watch us. But no, I know very little about them, to be honest, Brendan. But listen, hey, they're going to be a good team there. They're county champions in Derry as well, so we're not going to get anything easy going in there on Saturday, you know.
Yeah, good all the same to be back at the Donald Park now. You know the pitch well. You know, it's a good asset.
Oh, definitely, yeah. We played there now. We played the quarter-final there, now the two finals, you know. So, and it's a great surface, you know. I think it suits us, you know. We like to run the ball, and it's a big open pitch, you know. And when teams try and sit in, you can move the ball over and back, you know. And I think it suits us, the style we play. So, no, listen, good to be back in it again.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, Mark, you're representing the county now. I have no doubt you'll do it with pride. I'm looking forward to this game next week. And again, congratulations on that intermediate title.
Thank you very much, Brendan. Thanks for having me.
See you soon, sir. All the best, Mark.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yeah, great catching up with the man himself, Captain Fantastic Mark Harley. Well, after the match, Pádraig Helfrich got words with former Donegal and Clonhilly star Joe Friel.
Yes, absolutely. It's a relief for a start, considering the way we played last week. We had a very poor showing last week. We didn't do ourselves any justice. But that performance we had there in the first half is just what them lads can do. You know, they're a young, fresh team, you know, and it's just, they needed to show what they could do, and they've done that today, you know.
I suppose yourself and Lynchy in the backroom team would have come in for a lot of critics during the week. Suppose Clonhilly, you know, came in last week, didn't really play anywhere near the potential.
No, not at all. And the lads went away and they were disappointed about that, you know, and they knew all eyes were on them and they knew that the performance wasn't up to scratch and they just turned it around this week. Maybe it was caught in the headlights, I don't know, but I don't know what you would put it down to. You know, it was hard to put our finger on it. You know, we just didn't show up on the day. But they had a look at themselves this week and they had a good week under their belt and they came out and they'd done that there in the first half and that was enough for us, you know.
I suppose Jason McGee was outstanding in the first half, really brought the fight along with the rest of the team, but I suppose settling the nerves, you need big game players.
Absolutely. In relation to Jason, coming into the game, he didn't have the best preparation. He had a flu and he was whatnot, you know, and he just wasn't fully functioning. But today you could see when he opened up the legs, they didn't have an answer for him, you know. And inside, the boys, I thought, were exceptional and our half-back line was fabulous, you know.
I suppose looking at the movement inside from young Blake McGarvey and Sweeney, I suppose there was that outlet as well, and John Fitz was there as well. Now he's well marshalled today. I suppose Clowney didn't do that last week.
No, but when you see them boys in full flight, it's something to behold, because they can move, they can shift, you know, and for any defender to put a hand on them, they've done well. And in fairness to the Dunlow lads, in the first day they curtailed them really well. This time when they were getting measured ball into them, they just didn't have that same luxury, you know.
So it's going on at half time. It was 7-2, similar to last week, as we've been referencing all day. So what was going through the head then, Joe?
Just role reversal, but at the same time, it was nice and calm in the dressing room, and Michael told them, just listen, lads, there's no point getting too hyped up here now. We'll just go out and play the way we're playing, stick to the game plan, and we'll be all right, you know. And that's what he done.
I suppose in the second half, he's got the first score, which was important, but Dunlow did come with a surge in that second half, the first opening 5 or 10 minutes. They asked a couple of questions, your boys stood up really well.
They did, but they had to, and we knew they would. They had to come out of the blocks fire, and if they didn't, it was going to be a whitewash, you know, really. But in fairness to Dunlow, they came out, they asked the questions, but again, our lads stood up to it. We knew it was coming. The boys knew they had to stand up to it, and I thought they'd done really, really well, you know.
Looking at the goal today, I suppose it was something that was really well worked. It was thought out. I think Jason had possession, waited on the run from McGeady over on top, and to, I think it was John Fitzgerald who gave it inside to Blake then. So that particular passage of play just shows the calmness, and suppose when you need to hold possession, move it quickly, your guys were able to do that.
Well, that's something they actually worked on, and you know, when that opportunity arises, if you give Jason that amount of ground to run into, he's going to eat it up, you know. And then you have the speed of Blake and the boys inside, they're going to do really, really well also.
Back into the senior champ, I suppose we'll touch on that. You've battled for years in Clonhilly. You've always been a senior championship side. What does it mean to be back there?
For the likes of me now that's finished and retired, just means the world, just to see our club back up there where they should be, you know, and they should be there for years. You see boys like Lynchy himself and Liam Coyle and myself that played, Paddy Jodahun, all boys like that. We're just delighted to see this over the line and see it back up where we should be, you know.
Yeah, great to hear from Big Joe there. Fair play to all. Yes, what a day it was in the park yesterday for Downings, and I'm now joined by a very busy man. He's about to referee a game. We can't keep him too long. It's part of the management team. Joint manager, is it, Barney Kern?
Aye, joint manager, would you believe it? It's there's four of us in there. There's me, Kevin Cookie Galler, Anthony Boyle, who would have played with Kelly Beggs a couple of teams, and Michael Coyle would have been in goals for Downings for years. He's helping out as well, the goalkeeper situation, so it's always good to get more heads into it, you know.
Some experience there, Barney. That said, now the great White Hope landed back from Boston, and it just so happens he's won the championship, so you know there must be something in that.
Well, listen, there's a lot of work done before I landed back in the soil again, but no, it's great to get over the line, Brendan. We were preparing 2 weeks there for Letterkenny Gales. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, but it was a wee bit easier than we thought, you know. But yeah. Listen, it's all about winning and getting to the next stage, I suppose, and that's where we are now. You know?
Barney, a lot of people find this game hard to call. A final's a final. We've seen this a lot in games where teams just don't seem to perform in the last number of weeks in Donegal. You know, you're kind of left scratching your head, but that's not up to you. You're there to do and put on your performance. You did that, Barney. It's just looking at my notes from yesterday. You know, with the first water break, you hit the first 2 points, they hit the next two. Now, at that point, you were thinking, as everyone was calling it, this is going to be a tight game. So after that, you know, Barney, do you think that they would only score one more point? Yous would hit 1-7. You know, it was just a complete and utter, I suppose, takeover from yourselves. And I just felt, but everyone's playing fairly similar at the minute, Barney, getting players back in it. But when you guys broke, you had loads of invention, you had players trying to beat players or pick a kick pass or trying to set it up, whereas it looked very laboured from the Gaels, and they couldn't really get around your defence. And it looked like you probably learned so much the last couple of years to get into that position, and as I say, ran out easy winners in the end.
Yeah, Brendan, we were coming up to the game, and you know, we knew what the Gaels had, and we knew that every team was carrying a bit of injuries and a lot of niggles, and you know, the junior championship is a tough one to get out of, and so we just went in, and as I said to the boys, listen, we know what the Gaels have, we've come up against them a few times this over the last couple of years, and we're just going to focus on ourselves, you know, 80% us, 20% the opposition, and we're going to know what they're all about, and if they cause us a trouble, we're going to have a plan for them. But we focused on what we've done, and we're small, we're very, very quick, we move the ball sharp, and it was all about just being patient, because we knew the Gaels were going to be defensive. And we thought they would come out a wee bit more when we went a couple of points up, but they stayed defensive. And we knew if we kept chipping away at the points and kept chipping away at the points, that we're going to get a wee bit of daylight in between us. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was all about who wanted it the most. And I think our boys wanted it a wee bit most. It was a wee bit of hurt from the final last year. Maybe a wee bit of hurt that people weren't giving them the credit that they think they deserve. And we got there at the end up, you know.
And tell me, Bernie, was there much made last year? Because I remember in last year's final again, you know, your guys definitely listened, Convoy, but were great on the day. But we've seen nothing of what we thought Downing's would produce. But you certainly righted the wrongs of that. So was that a driving factor, particularly that performance in that final, that you weren't going to let that happen again?
100%, Brendan. The players knew themselves. A lot of it is player driven, and if you can get things player driven, I think you're an awful long way there, you know. And they kept going back to that, you know. They knew they weren't, they didn't show up on the day back then, and they knew that they didn't prepare right. As I was listening to some of the interviews last night, and they were saying, you know, that they felt that they kind of had to show up on the day. And but this year it was, we trained up to Thursday, Brendan, and we didn't change anything. It was intense sessions. Now, I suppose they're a wee bit shorter this week, but we trained hard, and the focus was high intense stuff from the start, and stay in it to the first water break, in which we done, and then the second water break we got a wee bit of daylight, and I suppose then we kind of controlled and managed the game. You know, it's always good. You know, it's always good to get the victory then. It's always good to come out on the winning side, you know.
And did Cookies Football Special play any part in this?
We had a big bit of football special.
It might have been used as a mixer last night.
Now, I didn't hang about. I went to Downing for an hour, and well, now maybe 2 hours. And I knew I had to be over in Gidor here this morning, repping on the 14 game, so I had to keep the head clear for them, you know.
Fair play. I know, Bernie, you're flat out there. You're about to ref a game. I don't want to hold you back, Bernie.
No,
Bernie, one wee thing. Just listen, looking ahead now, a few weeks' time, you're heading up to Park Esler, County Down, and for Foray into Ulster, which is a very special thing now, representing Donegal and going out, and a lot of lads have never played at that ground. And that's a special thing now, and something nice for the town to focus in on. That pride of representing the county, you know.
100%, Brendan. Definitely something nice for the wee parish. To get a run in Ulster. Now listen, we're not, as a famous man once said, we're not there to take a part, you know, just to take a part. We're there to compete, you know. And so we know, I got a video of the team last night that we're going to be coming up against, so I'll do a bit of looking at that over the next few days, and we'll get the boys ready. I'm sure the boys will be enjoying one or two of the day, and we're back on the training pitch tomorrow. We'll do a bit of gym session, and we'll do a bit of pitch session. And we'll reset for the Down champions. And, you know, they're the Down champions at the end of the day. So there's nothing going to be easy. And we're going to take it serious, you know. We would like to be playing in it. We would like to be in Ulster, Brendan, Christmas week, you know.
Definitely. Listen, Bernie, massive congrats to you and all. That's the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Junior A Football Champions. That is Downing's. A lovely picture of Ben McNutt lifting the cup here. Happy man. Listen, Bernie, I want to wish you all the best in that Ulster run in a couple of weeks' time. It's the 28th of November. You're down Sunday the 28th. Good luck with that, yeah. Bernie. I'll catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks, Ben. Good
Cheers, man. Bye-bye. That's Bernie Kern there. going to ref a game. We just tried to fit all that. He's a busy man. Phenomenal stuff there yesterday in O'Donnell Park. A great one for Downings. After that intermediate final, Tom Comack got a couple of interviews. He spoke with captain Ben McNutt. But first up is sharpshooter himself, Larkin Connor.
Long time coming. Yeah. So we would have had it last year, but it's a lot harder than you think to win the junior championship. I think a lot of people probably appreciate that.
Yeah. I was just going to say to you what a difference a year can make.
That's it. I think last year we went into the final and we probably thought we just had to turn up. We got our eyes open to us. You have to, when you get into the final, it doesn't matter if it's junior, intermediate or senior, you have to perform. And today, I think we answered a lot of our critics and put in a good performance there today.
Yeah, really very convincing. 7-2 up at half time, and probably annoyed with yourself that you weren't further ahead.
Well, look, I think going into the game, the key was against Letterkenny Gaels was to get ahead of them and stay ahead of them. The way we knew they were going to play defensive, and they kind of live off turnovers. And if you want to let them get ahead of you, you're chasing a losing battle. So we're happy enough to go in 4 points up, although it could have probably been 7 or 8 points. But we would have taken the 4 points if you had asked us before the game.
Yeah, and then of course you got the goal, and really from there on it was.
The game was kind of over then, essentially probably 10 minutes into the second half. But you still have to keep your focus, because I think Letterkenny Gaels had a chance for a goal then that would have brought it back to 5, I think. And you never know what would have happened, but I think every ball bounced against Letterkenny Gaels today. We had, for the goal that we had there, it came off the post and back into one of our man's hands, and they went up the pitch and hit the post, and it didn't fall as nicely for them. So it's just a game of margins, and thankfully.
What's the big difference from last year? As you said, obviously you probably thought that you were probably, you know, going into it on good form and favourites and all that type of thing against a team that probably hadn't played in the junior championship in a while.
We have a lot of youth there, so we do, and I think, to be honest, we probably thought it was going to be a lot easier than it was, and we didn't focus last year enough on ourselves. We got too caught up on probably what combat we were going to do in the final, and we went away from our own game plan. And today we focused going into the game there today on two things. First of all, working on our jobs. We knew what the job at hand was, but then second of all, bringing a performance. I think you can see there today we all stuck crazily to our jobs and the performance came.
Yeah, it's great to win. It's great to win a championship. It's great to win a final regardless how you do it. But exactly. To do it in such a way and such a manner, you know, against a good side, Letterkenny Gaels, they're a good side.
They are a good side. They've been knocking at the door now for a few years, and I've no doubt they're in Division 2 now next year. I've no doubt they'll give the junior championship a good rattle next year. But there is a lot of teams knocking at the door in that championship, so there is the likes of Cairn Donagh, Muff, Narasa. They're all good teams, and it is a competitive championship. I know. I don't think it's given a lot of respect in Donegal, to be honest. I think there was actually somebody asked during the week if Downing's care, or if we could be accused of maybe not caring at times, and I think we proved out there today that we definitely do care, so we do.
Is it too early to talk about Ulster, or is it tonight for celebration?
I think we'll not take us off the height for a day or two maybe, and then we'll start thinking about Ulster.
Well, Ben, first of all, congratulations, captain of a side in a championship, and done it in some style.
Yeah, thankfully put on a good performance there today. Got off to a flying start and happy to get over the line, right in the wrongs from last year.
Yeah, and you know, it does show you what can happen over the course of a year and the course of a season.
Exactly, at the start of the year we decided we wanted to get back and win the junior. Every man put the shoulder to the wheel and put on a big effort since the start of the season. Thankfully we've done that.
Yeah, junior management in the course of the year, like, it wasn't the best preparation, new management coming in.
Not really.
For the championship.
Not really, but you know, these things happen, but thankfully today we got over the line and won it.
Hmm. As I say, it's great to win a championship, regardless how you win it, a point or 2 points or a goal or whatever, but to win it in the manner you did today, put on a performance,
you know,
probably as good as we've seen in a junior final in a long time.
Yeah, I suppose that's an added bonus, to win in that manner, you know, just it shows how hungry we were to get back and to win it, you know, to do it in such fashion.
Hmm. Good new squad of players there now. This is a 6th championship for Downings,
yeah.
You know, heard it or something in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, Downings used to be up playing senior football not terribly long ago.
No, exactly. That's where we want to get back to. Hopefully now we have a good run in division or intermediate next year, and you know, there's a couple of good young fellas coming in, and we'll push on from there.
Hmm. How was the feeling today at half time? You were in a great place, weren't you?
Yeah, we felt like in control, but there's nothing won at half time. So we knew we went out and said the score was 0-0 and went at it again. So thankfully you know, we kept them scoreless nearly to the end, I think, in the second half. So if you do that there in the final, you're on your way to winning.
At what stage did you think? What stage did you think you had it won?
Not till the final whistle.
Yes, and now, folks, just a quick word on Davy's charity ball, which happened on Friday night there. A phenomenal night in the Mount Errigal. I couldn't have done it without a few people behind us, and one of them, I'm delighted to say, is joining me now. It's Kieran O'Donnell. Kieran, how are you, sir?
Hello, Brennan.
You're looking well, fresh as ever.
Going not so bad.
Yourself and Kieran Brogan, Alan Foley, and Aidan Cannon was the backing team here in Letterkenny. Listen, great stuff. So much good advice and backup and help, of course, the sisters and the family and all, and the whole plant, Terry, and so many people helped make this night. Kieran, before we get there, first, I just got to say congratulations to the Donald House, the young fella, Connor, bringing home the Dr. Maguire. It's been a good few weeks for you.
It's been great. Look, 7 years since students won the last time, Brendan, and look, as a fella with the young fella playing, hey, it's great. So a great bunch of fellas, and look, looking forward to the game now on Sunday in O'Donnell Park, and look, that's going to be another big occasion for the club and the town.
Yeah, it's great, Kieran, just been looking forward to things now and be able to relax, because it was absolute bedlam leading into this. I mean, I was on the phone to you every day, we were ringing, there was, you know, and you'd be a big undertaking here, but I think at the back of my mind, I never realised just what was involved. So, listen, thanks so much for all the help.
No problem. Look, Brendan, I suppose when you floated the idea, I suppose, a couple of times during the summertime, and I read your article with Alan Foley, and it was very, very good. I would encourage anybody that has access to Donegal Live, or Donegal Democrat newspaper, to get a look at it. It was really, really, really touching, Brendan, and really good, because it really encapsulated what the event was about and what you were trying to do. Look, I suppose I was thinking this on the way up this morning, Brendan. Irish people or Donegal people, they're sort of funny. All they want to do is to be asked, and they're very, very willing to give. And I suppose, looking back on the charity night, you mentioned, I mean, there was a few of us there. It was great. We were meeting up every Friday for the last number of weeks, and we had the launch of the Mount Errigal. And everybody that you went to, Brendan, would say, yes, look, what can you do? So that was the people you mentioned, Terry at the hotel, Jerry Endeavour for coming along and ordering it the day of the launch. You had Stephen Casty coming down at the time. You had Mark Black doing guitar. You had Bradis doing the filament. You had Oisin on the clips. You had Paddy McGill. And I suppose the whole thing that struck me was they're all people that have crossed your path, Brendan, through sport. And again, it brings it home how important sport is, and how useful and how beneficial it can be when it comes to sort of bringing things together and depending on people to help you out.
Yeah, and you're right, Kieran. When I sat down to look at this, I started to write down all the people that would get involved or people would come. And there's such a good will out there. It's a strange exercise. You probably don't forget how many people you've crossed through here and there. I mean, there's people come from all over the country to this. You know, Aidan Tierney came up, comedian, you know, off his own bat, came up, because I've got to know him this last while. We were at a couple of functions together. We've always stayed in touch. He's been on the show a few times. And as you say there, even Bumblebee Honey, the band that came up, they were at my sister's wedding. They were absolutely phenomenal. They rocked the place. They gave us a huge discount, as did AVC, who set up the mics. And that was the only actual thing that they paid it for on the night, Kieran. And Kieran Keaveney from New York, my buddy in New York, paid for all that. So everything we raised went straight to Cancer Care West, Focus Ireland, and of course Plan. And on the night, we sponsored 21 kids. So that's how the night started off. I do a bit of ambassador work for Plan. So in the lockdown there, the charities were struggling, Kieran. I was thinking, there was loads of wee gimmicky things, and I wasn't too sure how they were catching fire. And I thought, how do we do something large? So let's just do it. Let's go for 21 kids. So that's what the first part of the night was started for. And then obviously my dad went through a cancer battle there. He's come out the right side. So we went to Cancer Care West through and particularly through the Freed family in Newton as well. And then also Focus Ireland. Then I want to do something like we're hearing all the time about the homeless crisis out there, and something, you know, close to home that I thought we could all help out in. So they're the three charities that benefited in.
Yeah, look, Brendan, I suppose it was very well managed, because we launched it at the start of October, and at that stage, probably half the tables were sort of guaranteed. Within a couple of weeks, we had the sellout sign on it, and at that stage, it was mission accomplished, and that allowed you and the organisers, I suppose, to focus very much then on what the content was going to be. And as you said earlier, when you were on with Greg, it was a wee bit of a crazy night, because it was anything and everything, but it was really entertaining. So I think the fact that the sellout tag was able to go on it from earlier, Brendan, showed that it was such a success. And the other thing, you know, 21 children, and I've been thinking about that in the last while in terms of plan. I wasn't overly aware, Brendan, about plan and what they did and what it was about until you got involved. So with plan, Focus Ireland and Cancer Care West, along with raising money, Brendan, and I know this from experience in the past, the awareness that your event has created before, during and after, there's no price you can put in that. So that will be in people's minds, because there'll be another time or another occasion where people will be asked to help, donate or give. And I have no doubt that people, like they did on Friday night up until that and after that, will do so again with a kind heart.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Kieran. I suppose that's that other element that's hard to quantify. I suppose the charities want to get their message out, and that's difficult at the minute. And only three people have said they're going to sponsor themselves outside of this as well. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about, and that's the kind of thing we've put together. There does have to be another two balls, by the way, Kieran, if you're committing here, because the way we've set up the sponsorship, it's going to need another two to take it through his lifetime. So we have a few years to plan this time. I might start planning now.
You might need to.
Because I'll tell you what, Friday night, it was all go there, because, as you say, Matthew kicked it off, my son with the song.
It was a lovely touch, actually. It was really, really, really touching, you know.
And Mark Black helped him. Mark's giving him the guitar lessons now. He was phenomenal too. So it was a great way to start it. And of course, Dougie McFarlane, that was a different type of song to finish off the night, Black Betty.
For those who weren't there, it was an unforgettable rendition of Black Betty with Brendan and one of his former managers, and I'm going to nominate them for the Airy Guitar Champions doubles. Go and see you get on Ireland first, we need to go on the rest of the world, Brendan.
Listen, it was a great night, good natured, as you said, and so backed up by the sporting community here in the GAA, and of course all local businesses. I was highlighting them there, the amount of prizes, spot prizes we got for the raffle too, Kieran. So all those things played a part, and even the charities here in Letterkenny, some of the donations we got, just absolutely phenomenal. So it kind of took you back a bit as it was coming in, and some of that, I suppose, gave you a bit of energy then, Kieran, because in the lead update there was so much happening, but that there, the push from people then kind of gave you that bit of energy to get across the line.
And I was just checking on the GoFundMe page, Bren, before I come in, €3,190 at the minute, which is great, you know.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and that's still rolling on. So we'll get to the end of this, Kieran. We'll start to tally up, and we'll do a release then. I'm looking forward to that part where we hand over to the charities and we set up these sponsored kids as well. So I'm meeting plan at some stage this week to put everything in place. So looking forward to that side of things, and as the man says, the pressure's off.
And listen, well done to yourself, Brendan. It was a huge undertaking, but as you always do, you did it in your own way and you did it in style.
Thanks very much, Kieran. We'll end it on that. Appreciate it. Yes, and now I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Gaelic Life's Michael McMullen to run our eye across all that's happening in Ulster. It was another packed weekend of GAA action, and Michael's going to give us the lowdown on what was happening, the winners and losers. How are you, Michael?
Form's great, Brendan. I was at the Tyrone final last night, and it was a really exciting game, and a win for Dromore after 10 years. Great scenes of emotion afterwards.
Yeah, this phenomenal Tyrone championship. We keep talking about it, and listen, I'm looking across with jealous eyes, because it just seems just blood and guts every game. I mean, Coal Island themselves, the story going on there, you know, two extra times, kept coming back from the dead. Did it take too much out of them, or were they a bit flat in the final, or is that taking something away from the brilliant performance of Dromore, Michael?
Well, I suppose by the nature of late comebacks that someday you are going to be caught. But like last night, Coal Island went in at half-time 5 points all, and they'll be kicking themselves because they had a goal chance saved and they missed 6 or 7 point chances, you know, so they were probably 3 or 4 points a better team. And that's probably where they left the game behind them. And then as the half went on, after half-time, they went 17 or 18 minutes without a score. And Dromore, to be fair, then really cranked it up in that spell, and probably from about the second water break onwards, it was only really one winner.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And you know, looking at that championship, Michael, you cover a lot of different championships out there. You know, is it the number one? The Derry Championship was flying this year as well. Like there's some top teams emerging and re-emerging right across the province.
I've followed the Tyrone quite a bit. That's the first time I was at a Tyrone game in the flesh, you know, that wasn't streamed, you know, or whatever. But see, for the first 45 minutes, it was brilliant. It was end to end. There was goal chances. And like, there was a great atmosphere, a good crowd. You know, it was brilliant. You know, until Dromore pulled away. You know, and I would have to say that it's probably a step up from Derry. The Derry Championship isn't what it used to be. Glenn this year, to be fair, they made it a one horse race. You know, they won the championship this year by a winning, an average winning margin of 12.6 points over seven games, which is, it's scary for everybody else, but and you know, to compare those two finals, you know, week after week, there's no comparison really. You know, the Tyrone Championship final was superior.
I'm looking at our own here, Michael, and listen, don't want to be giving off too much, but the Donegal club football is massively too defensive. We've seen it even yesterday in the junior final. You know, particularly the Gaels, and actually the three finals. I'm just thinking about the three now. They've Connolly lost the senior final, scored 4 points. Dunlow, who lost the replay, scored 5 points. And yesterday, the team that lost the intermediate or junior final scored 3 points. I mean, that's a shocking tally across. Now, I know they're the losing teams, you know, but what I'm saying is it's adding into this defensive mindset. I'm thinking, well, what's the point in losing a game and scoring that point? Should you not go and have a go at it? You're in a final. Do you know what I mean? I just think that would leave me, if I was playing in those teams, I'd be like, what's the point in this? You know? And it's where Donegal's been dragged into this, because after 2012, you know, a lot of the players went back and everybody took this same philosophy. But as we see, Michael, when the two teams play like that, it ends up being a damp old, crappy, you know, low scoring game. And Donegal, we seem so slow to waking up and start to really coach the skills of the game and open up and start to play a bit, which I'm seeing around other games in Ulster, which I'm not seeing that much here.
I think, you know, like I haven't been at enough Donegal football to know the bigger picture, but I think in general across Ulster there has been a sort of an element where a lot of teams play the same. You know, like Maher Felt got a lot of bad press when they won the championship in Derry in 2019 for playing defensive football. But when you strip away a lot of it, most of the teams play the same counter-attacking game, but it's the teams that master it. Like, for example, Glen. Glen are scary with the pace that they have. They pull teams wide and they just run right through the middle of them. And, you know, they filter men back. Like, Conor Glass wears number, you know, he wears number 8, but he basically plays like a sort of a sweeper-come-defensive midfielder. But we see whenever they play and get the ball, they just break like mad. You know, and that's where the game is going. And that's where the Tyrone final was at yesterday. Like, in the first half, Culleen got in behind Dromore so many times. As you say, Brendan, it was pace. It was going at them. And it was great to watch. You know, it was excellent to watch. And maybe, as you touched on, maybe Culleen's legs did run away from them. You know, they couldn't sustain it, and when they hadn't built up that lead, they maybe came up short. But there was no defensive football whatsoever last night, and you know, the Derry County final, you know, it was just too one sided for anybody to say anything was defensive about it. But you know, I definitely think football has to change, because you know, the more adventurous teams are going to attract bigger crowds, there's going to be a bigger buzz. But you always fall into the trap that, you know, as you say, like, if you're playing against Niamh Connell and they're excellent at that game, you've two options: either be better at it or have a system of play that they just can't cope with. And that's where Glen have sort of come with something completely different. Glen's threat comes from number 5 to number 9. You know, it's just pure running, and it's really exciting to watch. It wasn't very exciting to watch if you're a Slant Neil man watching it, but you have to appreciate it.
As you are. Listen, dude, looking at the clash with Donald Park with St Unions, and it should be set up for a cracker game, because Unions, I think, as you said, Michael, every Donegal team, because other teams are playing like it, they're all playing that version of defence. It's too defensive for me, but Unions have another element. They have a pacey young side, and you know, Donald Park is a fast-playing pitch as well. So if you're saying Glen are coming with that running game, you know, it could be set up for a thriller, and maybe it'll open up that bit more with the two teams going at each other.
I think so, and I think there's also an element in the Ulster club. I often hear players saying that it's nearly like a relief when they get out of their own county that they can go and play, and it's a wee bit fresher as well. You know, that parochial thing where, you know, you're playing the same team every few years, you know, in finals, but I saw a wee bit of the Unions game on TG Cahir was watching it back, and they definitely looked to have a wee bit of variation about them. And they've played each other at minor level. Actually, a quite big statistic. 2011, Glenn played Unions in the tournament in Belfast. And out of the 26 players that Glenn had on their programme, 14 of them are still playing senior football.
Very good.
You know, and 11 of them played in the county final. The other three guys were injured. You know, and that's a big statistic for me going into it. As you said last week to me, you know, Unions have sort of built on three or four minor teams. And John Harn said the same. They were coming with, you know, with good youth, and the youth seems to have changed around Unions. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to it. I still fancy Glenn to come through. I just think they're scary at the moment for everybody else. And they've set a marker that everybody else has to try and catch.
That's a good warning for all those Unions folks.
I would say the Unions will look forward to taking them into their own backyard, and again, it lets them see where they are.
Yeah, because it was a strange season for Unions. You know, they didn't really hit the notes at all. Maybe they didn't have to in some of the games, and then they just produced a performance that we knew was in them, but we hadn't seen in the final. You know, listen, they got everything right on the day, but that said, Niamh Connell didn't turn up at all. So it's still, you know, I think this game will be a big telling game for this Unions team. It's at home. They're now county champions. As you said, there's a bit of release around that you can go out and play. So hoping for a cracker there. Michael, just looking across, there's some historic days yesterday, you know, in Armagh, you know, commercials coming through. Their championship, Clanhearn beating Cross McGlen 2-12-16. What was it, 58 years? And then In Antrim, 67 years then. Listen, there must be some big days and underdogs coming through across the province.
Oh, it's absolutely magic. And, you know, I was going to the game yesterday and I saw that Cross Milan were 11 points to 6 up. And you're sort of thinking, they're going to win that. And I met Horace Devlin when I got to him, and he says, some win for Clanhearn. And I couldn't believe it. And that's a massive gap. I was talking to one of the Craigan lads this morning for an interview, and he says, you know, it was everything they thought it would be and more to win that championship after 67 years.
Mm.
They're more after 10 years. Like, there's some magic attached to the club championship.
Mm.
You know, and the magical Mondays. Like, I was in Mahara last Monday night for a few pints, and there was some buzz around the town. Just, and what that does for people. And that'll be the same this morning around Craigan. You know, and no doubt last week with Unions, I saw was at, I can't remember which one of the boys was leading Molly Malone's in one of the pubs around the town.
Yeah.
So it does bring magic, and the amount of new teams that has came through, it probably has given the club championship a complete breath of fresh air. Look at happened Corrifin yesterday. They were, you know, they were completely, they were well beaten, and that's another new kid on the block as well. They haven't, is it Mount Bellew, Mellach, if I'm saying it right?
Yeah.
First championship since 1986. So it is the year of breakthroughs.
Mm. So they were knocking on the door. I mean, who else but Corrifin? In fact, there's a few seasons they would only side give Corrifin a game. I think they might have drew them a couple of times. They just couldn't beat them. And then Corrifin walked Connacht and beat everybody out of sight. It was Galway was their toughest point. It was off on them. So massive for them. You say Ramore there, you know, underdogs against Gouna coming through in Antrim or in Cavan as well. So listen, some fantastic days out there, Michael. I suppose it's good for you guys in Gaelic life as well, because, you know, you're not writing about the same old. You know, you've got this new splash of colour, and these teams coming with all this buzz.
Aye, and the only thing that probably is a wee bit disappointing in it all, and it's nothing that people can do anything about, the club championship's probably that condensed. Like, for example, I went to that Throne game last night, and I loved it. But I would love to have been able to go down to Craigan to see the homecoming of them coming home.
Hmm.
You know, it's nearly as if everything's on top of each other.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and maybe with very little to complain about because everything is so good. But that's maybe the one disadvantage out of it all, that that people can't go and taste that Craigan success or be in Letterkenny whenever Unions turn it over, Niamh Connell. You know, they can't be there to witness that. So, but that's for another day, I suppose.
Yeah. Do you know one thing, Mick? I'm only thinking as you're saying that, but you're very lucky with the weather now. I mean, it was perfect conditions there, even over the weekend at the park there. That, you know, a couple of weeks before, remember when it turned, there was possibilities that McCool Park wouldn't even be playable. So we've got very lucky to get these vinyls out, and the weather hasn't been an issue.
I definitely. And, you know, it's like traditionally it would be Ulster Club final time around this time of the year, and now it's only really starting. So hopefully it can stick with us for another few months to get through to all Ireland stages, because the Ulster Club Championship for me is the best competition in the GAA. You know, and obviously the Leinster, you know, the provincial club championships is just brilliant. And like the decision Sean Kelly made as president, like we always jump on the back of the GAA if they make a mistake. But Sean Kelly's decision to introduce an All Ireland Junior and Intermediate Championship was the best decision they ever made, and Camogie and ladies football followed it. So no matter what grade you play in, you're potentially 5 matches away from Croke Park. Like, that's a huge thing, and the GAA probably don't get enough credit for that decision. And as you say, hopefully the pitches hold up and we can get a provincial and an All-Ireland series that's every bit as good, and it looks as if we'll have some brand new winners standing in Croke Park.
Yeah, and I was just thinking our junior champions, they're going up to Park Essler to play the Down champions on the 28th, and I was just thinking that's special for them. You know, you're going up to a top county ground, you know, a place you might have came and watched Donegal play championship games. So I think that's a great thing for players to get into these stadiums and to experience that. You know, it's such a different thing, but a special thing, you know, and that's the magic of Ulster. Michael, just before I let you go, I know you're busy there. Michael, a word on the Down situation. Everybody's been interested here in Donegal. We hear McGuinness's name being thrown about, Conor Lafferty and Marty Clark. It came as hot news, but cold water's been poured over all this, I think, is it?
It seems to be. You know, I don't know an awful lot of the ins and outs of it, but I heard a lot of names attached to it. Damien Casty, Jim Gavin, Jim McGuinness, you know, Pete McGrath as well. I'd actually contacted the Down County Board to see was it true that Pete was taking over, but at that stage, that was before the Jim story, they said there was nothing decided in it at that stage. But like, you've got Down and Longford, I think, are the only counties with no manager. It's worrying. And I don't know what they do at this stage because, you know, time's wearing on. The Jim McGuinness thing, I think, would have been great if he had been involved. It would have just been something brand new. I didn't see him being a number two to anybody. You know, whenever he wasn't going to be the manager, I didn't see that being a runner. Conor Lafferty did an excellent job with their under-20s, and he does a lot of coaching around Kilcoo. So he's obviously staying at that level, maybe with a view to moving up into the hot seat whenever he hangs up the boots.
You know, reading the looks from Conor, he's very highly got that. He just doesn't want to do it yet. He wants to still do his bits and pieces, because that's probably the end game. And he's probably thinking maybe it's too big a building process just now, or maybe he's not ready, seems to be the thing, because it looks like if he wanted it, he would get it, Michael.
Definitely. He was actually, under Damien McAuleen in his second year, he did a bit of coaching with Derry Seniors, and the players were absolutely taken in by him. I think his whole basis was how to try and break down a defence, and I think they thought his training was excellent, and that was the year that they gave Tyrone a real good game up in Healy Park. And then obviously with his own county, and he, you know, had his spell in the Monaghan, you know, he's building up a good CV, and I suppose even the whole Kilcoo thing, like, he's playing at the top level. And Kilcoo people, I suppose by their nature, they've got determination just oozing out of them. So if he came on board as manager, you bury that whole thing about the Kilcoo boys won't totally commit to the county. Yeah, and you have total buy-in. Maybe like the Joe Kiernan factor jumping into Armagh, you know, with the cross. You know, who knows? But it's probably something that Down's going to have to... they're going to have to sort it out sooner rather than later, because, you know, how long does it go on, you know, before you don't have a manager? The last time Pete McGrath got it, before he worked the Oracle with them, I think he was, like, maybe... I don't know how many choices down the lane he was, but he wasn't in the top 3 or 4 choices.
Right.
So maybe they'll go back to Pete this time. Who knows? But they'll have to do it shortly.
Yeah, he's a gamey man, Pete. He would take anything on. I do enjoy him. He's a good lad. Michael, listen, first class, appreciate that. I'm going to see you in Letterkenny then. I'll be going for Unions then, and you're going to go for the Glen.
Always go for the very champions, regardless, and that's the way it should be. So, Glen for Ulster.
Glen for Ulster, you heard it here first. Michael, listen, top man, and as I said to Michael earlier, he was at that county final. They see Dromore St. Dampnes won their fifth title, and after the match, we caught up with former county star and current Dromore manager Colin McCullough.
Aye, definitely. Very impressed with the second half now. We weren't happy at all at half time with our performance in the first half. So, now the second half is definitely more like ourselves and knew what we were capable of, and thankfully the boys produced the goods.
You won four medals yourself now, three as a player. Where does this one rank in the four?
Aye, look, there's nothing like winning them as a player, I think. The management, it's a great feeling now at the minute, but for me, it's all about the players. It's not about us as a management team. It's all about the players, and then today they put in all the hard work and the sacrifices and commitments, and they got their just rewards.
So you treasure the medals you won on the field, of course, and I suppose that 2009 penalty right at the death as well ranks up there.
Aye, definitely. Look, of course it does. And 2009 equally special as well. But 2007 equally special, as it was our first ever championship. And 2009, when I was a captain myself, then obviously that brought its own feel good factors to it. So and then 2011, look, they're all, when you win any county championship, it's special.
What was going through your mind when you went 5 or 6 points up there, and the game run in this final sort of 7-8 minutes, and you knew what Killeen are capable of in the later stages of games?
Aye, well, obviously we've done a lot of practice and work on the possibility of finding ourselves in that position and how we deal with that. So look, we just had to stick to what we were doing, and we try to control the game as much as possible now for possession of the ball, and not give Killeen that opportunity to put more pressure on us.
It's an exciting young team you have, with great possibilities and great potential for the future. Do you feel they can push on here and maybe add another one or two titles?
Yeah, well, look, as the age profile of the team is definitely positive and definitely very encouraging for us. But it's we'll enjoy this one, and our aim would obviously, like every club's aim, would be to go at it again next year. But we'll enjoy it today, and look, those boys can achieve whatever they want to achieve. It's in their own hands. They have youth on their side, and whatever they want to achieve is possible.
And they have a great opportunity now. They have a few weeks to prepare for the Ulster club, you know, so they can give that a real rattle.
Aye, that's right. That's for another day as well. It's unusual to the times that we would have played in the Ulster club. It was nearly a 1 week turnaround, and you were straight back at it again. It was hard to do your celebrations and then be prepared again for that. So aye, I think it's 4th of December, 3 weeks time, so it gives a wee bit of time, and look, we'll enjoy tonight and enjoy tomorrow, and then we'll see you right in the middle of the week and start preparing for that.
Yes, that's a wrap, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. I want to thank Kevin for producing here in the studio, Head of Sport Oisin Kelly, my guests Michael McMullen, Kieran O'Donnell and Mark Harley. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.